Hello, I am Brittany Brodus Smith. It's March 27th, 2007. We're in the library, fourth floor, and I will be interviewing Ms. Deb Arive. Okay. First, we'll start off with, what is your full name?
Deborah Ann Arive.
Okay. Okay, do you mind telling me your birth date, including the year?
No, I don't. April 23rd, 1954.
And how long did you work at Millsville? From like what year to what year?
From 1990 to 1999 or 2000.
Okay. And what was your position?
The last position I left was I worked in the provost office.
And what other positions did you have at Millsville?
I worked in the English department.
Okay. How did you get to Millsville? Did you hear about it from a friend, a family, a neighbor, TV?
I think I saw the job advertised in the paper. I believe that's how it was.
Okay. And what obstacles and or opportunities did you face in terms of day-to-day performance as an African-American woman?
Personally, I didn't have any. I know that people have had them, but I have never experienced, especially at Millersville. I never experienced anything.
Okay. So what are your perceptions of the problems that your coworkers encountered?
You know, that's a tough one. Males more so than females, and it was just because they were African American. They didn't get the positions or the raises that they thought they should get or should have received. Their white counterpart usually received it over them.
Okay, so do you feel that you had a great possibility of upward movement or improvement in your job as far as position or salary or anything like that?
I did. It didn't have anything to do with race. It had more to do with the rules in Harrisburg.
What do you mean?
Okay. They had a certain job description, and it didn't matter what you did. The rules and that described the job were written back in like 1950, and they wouldn't change. They didn't change. So you had to stay within those rules and regulations. The things I did was more like an administrative assistant, but the title that I actually had was clerk typist 3 or 2 or something like that.
I understand. So you...
So that's what kept me stuck, more so than race.
So it was the rules. So you felt like you were doing more work, the work that was outside of your...
Oh, way outside. And people, I had the appreciation of the people in the department, but I just wasn't getting the pay. I got perks other ways.
Okay. So I have 2 questions. What was your job supposed to entail? Since you said that you did above and beyond as a clerk typist 3, what should you have been doing?
As a clerk typist 3, I just assisted the chair in, you know, whatever capacity that he needed. But the type of person I am, I always go over and above what's required, mm-hmm. and I don't need much supervision. And that's what gained their respect, and I was way over what I was supposed to be doing, but I saw it needed to be done, so I did it.
Okay, so given your personality type and your work ethic, describe a typical day on the job.
In the English department? Or now?
No, at Millersville.
At Millersville? Come in. This is hard because it's been a long time. And I would like to see what needed to be done. I was the type of person, I had to clean off my desk and make nice orderly piles so I didn't come into a messy desk the next day because I couldn't work like that. So I had my things in order to see what had to be done that day. And I just took one thing at a time. I took care of the student workers and made sure they had something to do. And the graduate students made sure everybody had what they were supposed to do. And then I went about doing my job, which, depending on the time of year, was scheduling classes, making sure everything was running smoothly, whatever the chair wanted me to do.
So what So what were your schedules like? What, how long were you supposed to be there on the day? Like 9 to 5, 8 to 4?
8 to 4:30, I believe. And we worked 37 and a half hours. Yeah.
How often, so did you leave at 4:30 every time, every day?
No. Or
how often did you get to leave it on time?
Most of the time, if I wanted to. But like I said, I'm a conscientious person, and if something needed to be done, I would finish it because I didn't want to have to come back the next day.
Yeah, I understand. Were there many other women in similar positions at Mooresville, African-American women, or just African-Americans, period, in your position?
At the time I was here, no, but there are many more now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So why do you think that there's more now as opposed to when you were here?
More people moved up. I mean, there were more people that applied for different jobs. A lot of my friends did the same thing I did. I got my degree while I was working here. So as they...
You went to Mooresville here?
Yeah.
So do you think that you going to school here had a lot to do with the respect that you received?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. From what you've been telling me, so you don't think that, well, you had a positive experience in Mooresville. So if you can think of any of your female coworkers that had negative experiences, what do you think that their race and their gender had anything to do with how they were treated, one more so than the other, whether they were because they were a woman or because they were African American?
I don't think so. Some of it, the ones I can think of, it had to do with personality.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. How would you describe the climate at Mooresville for women in general,
mm-hmm.
for African Americans in general, and then for African American women?
From my perspective, I thought it was, when I was here, it was okay. I mean, I saw no problems. But I told you that I never saw any problems. I know people that had some and felt that there was prejudice here, but I never.
So you never personally felt it. So do you think that your coworkers' feelings of prejudice were warranted, or was it just the way the times, like, okay, I'm black, so they're going to try to hold me back? Like, you know, that.
Sometimes I think that I thought they just looked for reasons, mm-hmm. for excuses, mm-hmm. I mean, that weren't there, and then they used the they were black or Hispanic, and that's why this is happening to me. It's because I'm black or Hispanic. I didn't see that.
No. Okay.
I hate people that use excuses like that.
Yes. I can understand. I have an uncle like that. It's like, well, the man, like, even in 2007, the man is trying to hold me back. I can't do this.
No.
It could be because you've been in jail for 17 times and doesn't have a high school diploma.
It's
that could have something to
easier to
do
blame
with
somebody
it
else
than it is
than
to,
it
take
is to try to, yes.
So you think that that was a lot, that
some
had a lot
it,
to
yeah.
do with it? Okay. What were the most rewarding or satisfying aspects of your job?
Just learning. Being here on campus, you know, there is always something to learn. And a job as interesting to me is as long as it keeps my mind challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found challenges, and when there were no more challenges in what I was doing, I was ready to move on.
Is that why you left Mooresville?
Yeah.
Okay. What were the least rewarding or satisfying aspects of your job?
Dealing with ungrateful people. Especially the professors in the department. They're like big babies.
So if you didn't feel any type of discrepancy because of your race or your gender, maybe was it like a class issue? Did you feel that the professors felt that they were above
some
you?
Some of them, yes. Some of them did. Not many. But there were some, yeah.
Okay. How would you say your experience at Mooresville affected you, your life in the short term? Or I guess while you were here. Like, how was working at Mooresville, how did it contribute to your everyday life, either positively or negatively?
Oh, I enjoyed working here. The kids kept me young.
And long term, I know you said that you learned a lot from working in middle school. So did you learn anything that you will keep with you for the rest of your life?
Specifically, I can't name one thing, but I think every job that I've had, I've learned and I've grown from it and added to what, taken what I've learned from one position to the next position and just kept going.
Okay.
Not sure that that's what you wanted to hear, but that's...
I understand. Okay, were your supervisors or peers or those you supervised African-American women or women or African-Americans, period?
The student workers, they were. They were African-American. And to this day, we are still friends. They've graduated, and we still get together at least once a year.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, how would you describe your relationship at Millsville with, okay, well, you said that you still are friends with the ones that you supervise, the student workers. So what about your supervisors?
I'm still friends with them. I still get together with them. In fact, the person that hired me in the English department was the chair. She became my mentor, and we are still good friends to this day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the other chairs too. And a lot of the other professors, I'm still.
What about your coworkers?
Oh, yeah. That one works in the library, and I'm going on that King Tut exhibit with her on Saturday. So I keep in touch with a lot of them.
That's good. Okay. Have you ever felt uncomfortable or unsafe at Millsville?
No.
Never?
Mm-mm.
Okay. And final question. Where were you born? And what was life like growing up?
I was born in Phillipsburg, Pennsylvania. It's in the western part of the state. You don't know where that is.
I never heard of this.
Where are you from?
I'm from Philadelphia.
From Philly.
But I grew up in, I went to a boarding school called Scotland School for Veteran Children. And I was there from 6th to 12th grade. So I pretty much grew up in Chambersburg, Harrisburg region.
All right, I know. All right. I was up in the western part of the state. It was in the mountains. I had a great childhood.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it. I can remember back, and I had one brother, and lived in the neighborhood, four kids, and it was fun.
Was it race isolated?
There were not many African American families. No, there weren't that many, but I never felt
any prejudice.
No.
Wow.
I don't know whether that's good or bad.
What do you mean?
Because it wasn't until I was 40 that I actually felt prejudice. I know you're looking at me like, what? Where have you been? My friend took me out to California. She lives out there she brought me out there for my 40th. All expenses paid. We had a great time. We went to this one hotel, the Ritz-Carlton, very old money. They made me feel very uncomfortable. Yeah. Just in their attitude, the way they just looked down. And I told my friend, I said, I'm gonna stay here. I've never felt this before. She felt it too. And my best friend's white.
Okay.
They were just very, very nasty people.
Wow. I think I felt prejudice one time, and believe it or not, it was from a 4-year-old. I was in Chambersburg, and we had actually just won district championships, and it was like I'm a sophomore, so this was 2 years ago, my senior year. Mm-hmm. We went to McDonald's, and a little girl, because I love kids, and I came in, and I was like, oh, she's so cute. She looked at me and said, get out my face, N-I-G-G-E-R. I was so taken aback. Four. She had to be no more than 4 years old.
That's parents.
I was sitting there. I was just like, that actually took my breath away. I was like, oh, my goodness.
And she's like that at 4 years old. What is she going to be like?
I don't know. And then her mother didn't reprimand her. She didn't scold her. She didn't apologize. She didn't say anything. She just grabbed her and pulled her to her like nothing happened. And I was just like, wow.
That is...
That was crazy. And but other than that, I know that when we were playing basketball, like a team that the boys would play home, we mm-hmm. would go away. Well, the boys were playing this one team called Stone Mountain mm-hmm. at our school, mm-hmm. and so I asked, okay, why don't we go up there to play their school? He was like, I'm not sending y'all up there, and now because our team was all African American and he was Caucasian, I was like, why we can't go? It's just a school. Mm-hmm. He was like, no, it's not just a school. I'm not sending y'all, and this is in the mountains. These people have never. He was like, Brittany, I'm just gonna be straight with you. These people have never seen black people besides on TV. So I'm not even taking a chance. I'm not sending y'all up there.
And I can understand that.
Wow.
Well, when we moved down here, when I moved to Lancaster, mm-hmm. the girl who is my best friend now, we have been best friends for 35, 40 years. She's white. I told you that. Mm-hmm. Her parents had never been around African Americans before. They didn't want her to be my friend. Only because of their own ignorance. We have grown. I'm closer to them now. This is close to my own family.
Wow. What do you think changed their mind?
Just they got to know me.
Yeah, and ignorance is the main. I mm-hmm. think that is the main cause of prejudice because they don't know, and people fear the unknown.
That's right. They got to know me, and that's they're like my second parents now.
That is amazing. Well, it was very nice talking to you and getting to know you. And once again, I apologize for my tardiness. And
what is this for? Which class? Who is this?
Dr. Rita Smith.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're doing we're continuing oral history project, and I'm in her Black Woman. It's called The Black Woman.
Okay.
I'm in that class. And our class in feminism class, I believe. Another one of the women's. One of the women's history classes is doing it. So this is to continue to, because it's like we have a lot of archives, like as far as books and stuff, mm-hmm. but we're taking in like digital, and I think we're going to make a big poster and have a big presentation about it at the end of the year.
Okay.
So thank you. And I'm
glad to help if there's anything else I can do. I wish my mom could have helped, but she's just.
I understand. Well, I'll definitely still be praying for her. And if you could tell me somebody, another African American woman. There was a support staff that I could call and interview.
Can they be here now?
No. Now what? I'm my partner has the present day. I have to do past.
Let me think on it. I'll ask my mom. I'll be talking to her. It has to be African American?
Yes.
Okay. Let me think on it. I have your number.
All right.
I have your email. And it has to be, you can turn it off now. Okay.